talk about two really basic concepts in improvisation, and I debated whether to send notes ahead, and I deliberately decided not to do that. What I'd like you to do is just listen. Certainly use your imagination. If I'm talking about, you know, a C chord and a 1-5-8, you know, think about what that means to you. But you do have the ability to go back and listen, and I will follow up notes on what we're doing. For those of you who may be vocalists or play an instrument that's a melody instrument, I did send out another schedule. Bonnie Schmader in Albuquerque is going to be leading two calls in June that are specifically focused on a melody line instrument or vocalist. You're welcome to stay on this call if you want, but this is going to be oriented to harp and other instruments that have multiple notes that can be played at the same time. So I think I'll just get started. In all of my years and years and years of musical training, I was never trained in improvisation. And I really started doing improvisation when I came into doing therapeutic harp work, and have been able to start from real bare bones, kind of struggling, figuring out what to do, with now being very comfortable with playing around. And I think that I've learned about 10% of what's available. I think one of the things to remember when you're dealing with improvisation is to keep it simple. You don't have to do complex improvisations. And the second thing that I would say is slow the tempo down and relax and breathe. So I'll be talking about some of those concepts as I demonstrate a couple of techniques that I use. I'm not going to be trying to demonstrate perfectly, and I'm certainly not demonstrating all of the possibilities. You have to start somewhere, and what I'd like to do, hopefully, is give you a starting point so that you can play with it. We have a second follow-up call in a few weeks, and my hope would be that you do spend some time with improvisation. Raise questions to me in the meantime, if you wish. And then the second call will be taking this a step further and looking at how you use improvisation to get from selection to selection that you're working on that you're playing. So I'm going to start now. My harp is tuned in the key of C, and I will not be doing any lever changes from what I'm doing. The first, and I'm going to apologize in advance, my bass notes may be a little bit out of tune. I'm playing a harp that I don't normally play, and the bass notes didn't stay in tune very easily. The first thing that I'm going to do is play using a C chord. Now, a C chord, as you know, has a C, E, and G. And no matter where you play the C, E, and G on the harp, it's part of the C chord. One of the things that is, I think, a very good practice to do is that when you're playing a C chord in the bass, if what you do is play a four-note C chord, C, E, G, C, that's out of tune, it's pretty full. And one of the techniques that Sunita Stanislaw uses is to always, when she's in the bass, she pretty much does a 1-5-8, leaving out that third. It doesn't muddy the bass as much. So I start with a 1-5-8, which is a C, D, C. So that's my bass. And from there, I can do an E, D, C, which is I'm simply continuing that C chord on up, and I'm using a three fingers. So, and I can go. I can go one further octave. So it's a very straightforward C chord. Now, if I want to vary the sound of what I'm doing with that chord, I can... and pause. I can also do that 1-5-8. And then instead of doing E-G-C, I can take 1-5-8-9, which is D, and then E-G-C. So now I've got a four-finger chord in my right hand, which is C-E-G-C. So I'm going to contrast the sound. And here's with the ninth. I can also, with the same C chord, I can play C, G, and then come up to the 10th or E, come back to C, then to G, E, G, C, and so forth on up, and that was... That's another way of altering the sound. So using the same 1-5-8 pattern, or the 1-5 and the 9, 3-5-8 pattern on a C, I can do that with a starting note of A. So I can do A, E, A. So now I've got a minor in there. So I've used that ninth tone in there. Okay, so right now, if I wanted to go from one to the other, that's pretty nice. And then you can do an F. Fingering patterns in terms of playing 1-5-8, using just the 3-5-8 going up the harp, or adding in that ninth note, they're exactly the same no matter whether my starting note is C or A or F or G. And that chordal pattern, that progression, is a very, very common progression that we use. It's all the back to C. So if I want to take just that and make something that sounds nice out of it, then I start on C. Thank you. between and set up what I'm doing, but I also, if I were playing this at Bed-Stuy, I would be pausing. There is absolutely no hurry to get through this. So I'm thinking I'm going to start with a C. And I'm kind of thinking about what I might want to do.
Hey, this is Linda Fridell in Washington. When you're doing the right hand, just you're only doing like one or two or three notes in the right hand leading into that chord change in the left hand. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's what I'm doing right now. That doesn't okay. mean that's all you can do, but that is what I'm doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Other questions?
This is Colleen Jeffrey. I can tell even over the phone on speaker that the harp that you were using is deeper and richer of tone and probably has a lot better sustain than my more modest harp. So my question is, for those of us with modest harps, do you think that we will be able to get away with long, you know, with longish pauses if we don't have the kind of sustain you do?
I think the answer is yes. And let me just say, out of the bass notes, and I understand that harp does have really nice tone, but I do all of my playing on a 23 string.
Okay.
So I don't have this same long sustain. So if I just do this up high, and part of what you may end up doing is a little more chording of on top, but I still, we do not need to fill every beat with sound. So the question's excellent, but I think, yes, you can still do it.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Other questions?
Yes, I had a question. You talked about just staying in the key of C. For the purpose of clinical musicianship, do you just tend to memorize your songs in the same key to avoid lever changes? Or, I mean, if you don't want to pause, or do you occasionally just work the lever changes into your improv? Or how do you usually handle that?
Well, you know, different harps do different things. I happen to leave my harp in the key of C, and because I play a double strung harp, I have double jeopardy if I'm going to change levers, and I just don't. But there are certainly harpists who change, and you should be able to do that if you want to. There's no reason not to. But I don't. I use a lot of modal playing, which is the next thing that I'm going to talk about. And I feel like I get a good range of keys and sounds by virtue of the selections that I'm using, the way I improvise and mixing major, minor, and modal kinds of sounds. But I think everybody has to you know, meet their own needs around that. There is no rule that says you can't do lever changes. I do think that when you're doing a bedside session, and particularly if you were doing tempo playing in order to support somebody regulating their body systems, it's really important to be able to keep playing. And so if you do lever changes, it's important that you practice them, that you know exactly where they're going to be done, and that they don't disrupt your playing.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, great question. Any other questions? Okay, I'm going to take that as a no.
I have a question.
Okay.
I'm Elizabeth in Vermont.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Hi. Chord progression. That's the thing that anybody that plays guitar learns, but I never did. It's all Greek to me. I don't know what chords follow what chords nicely. Can you tell us any more about that?
So I think your question is, if I were starting with a C chord, then how would you know what to follow it with?
Yeah. Right.
Well, and you and I should probably do a little offline here. There's not just one way to do a progression. What I've given you is a C, A, F, G, back to C.
Uh-huh.
It's a very common progression, and it will take you a long way. But there are other progressions that you can use. And I have minimal theory in my background. So anything that I'm saying around this doesn't come out of expertise in music theory. It's kind of what I've learned and been able to put together in kind of a layman's way, so it's been useful. But certainly we can correspond by email if you'd like.
Okay. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
I do have a question, Dee. I just barely started the internship, and I find that when I play through pieces, and then if I feel like I need to, you know, or feel like the patient maybe needs a little more music, and I feel like I'm kind of running out of pieces to keep repeating, then I find I'm trying to improvise. I'm just curious, when do you use improvisation, and how do you go about that?
I use improvisation normally to start a bedside session.
Okay.
So before I ever get into any pieces, I have a series of pieces that I play in A minor, and they're almost interchangeable. Every now and then, if I'm not paying attention, I'll start Greensleeves, and when I go to the second part of it, I really realize that what I'm doing is playing Star County Down. And then I go to play the second part of that, and I realize that I'm really doing the Greensleeves. And the patients don't know the difference. So it's not anything to worry about. When you've got a group, you know, like a medley that you can use, you can throw in improvisation. If I'm in A minor, then I can just kind of fuck around in A minor, go to a couple of different places, come back to it, and resume what I'm doing with the piece. So sometimes, instead of just repeating a piece, you know, three or four times, one right after the other, you can use improvisation in between, and then come back to the piece. And go off and do it a little more, and come back to the piece. From piece to piece, I don't ever... I should never say never, but I virtually never go from piece to piece. I go through improvisation to get there.
Okay. Thanks, Dee. See, this is definitely...
Improvisation is a way to extend your repertoire without having to learn, you know, 20 new songs. I think somebody started to say something.
Yeah, this is Beth and Sandy. I'm a real beginner, really beginner harpist. Could I use, like, my left hand for one chord and then my right hand for another going up the scale? Or is that, like, kind of a no-no? You said you're using just your left hand.
Say a little bit. I'm not clear on what you're asking, Beth.
So if I was going up, you know, C chord and then going up an octave, like you're kind of going... up, could I alternate hands?
To go up in, like in the C chord?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
So I think you're saying, can you do this? I alternated hands.
Okay, so it was you just made it sound really smooth, but you did use left and then right.
That's with left, right.
Awesome. Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Anyone else? Okay, then I'm going to switch gears because the other thing that I wanted to talk a little bit about was modal improvisation. We hear about modal so much. And you've got, in the key of C, if I'm in the Ionian mode, and I've got on C, I've got my Do, Re, Mi scale. We've looked at that. If I start on D, and I make that my scale, and I can do the same thing going from E to E, F to F, G, and so forth, to be in the different modes. Well, if I, in Sel Benson's book, I think it's on page 183, she talks about, in the healing musician, she talks about a modal improvisation strategy. And there certainly are multi-levels of doing modal improvisation, but I have to tell you that this was one of the strategies when I sat down for about the fifth time and tried to figure out what she was saying, and I got it. It just was like night and day and led me on a huge, huge journey and gave me an immense amount of freedom. So I want to share with you the simplest strategy, and I actually, as I was preparing for the call today, I kind of gained some insight on this. What she's saying in that strategy is you use the one and the five. So if I'm in the key of, if I've got C, if I'm in the Ionian mode, and I'm in a C tuning, then that's going to be C and G. If I'm starting in the Dorian mode, D, it's going to be D and A. It's just the 1-5, wherever you start. So if I'm in, and I'm going to do just what I would be doing in the right hand, and that was what I kind of figured out today. I always put them together, but I think you really get it. Just work with your right hand. So I'm going to do this first of all with the C. So I'm using C and G. And I like to think of my C and G as anchors. C has a term of final, subfinal, and I can't remember the other term she uses. And those, they're accurate terms, and they confused me. When I realized that I just needed to have those two as anchors, it simplified it. So in her strategy, she would say, you're starting with your C, and then you sort of wander, and you want to end up focusing on the G. Or you want to wander and focus back on the C. So I'm just going to wander, and I'm going to call out when I hit C and when I hit G. And otherwise, I'm not going to name off the notes that I'm doing. So that's a C. Below the starting note, your C, so the B, and I'll always come up to it. If you think about amen, amen, then that same way. And I just did C, A, B, C to get there. So no matter what I did, what I honed in on was the C to D, the C. I could have gone out to the other G. So there's no rule that says you have to hit a G in order to pass go, or you have to hit a C, or you can't go above the G until you hit the G. The whole objective is keep anchoring yourself to C's and G's. And some of the way you do that is in pausing and repeating notes. So if I do that with a D and an A, I'll again call out when I'm hitting the DNA, and otherwise I'm just going to wander. So that's DA. A. The fact that you anchor things in your base means you've got lots of forgiveness in the trouble. That where you would normally not play a D and an E together or a B and a C together, if that's where you end up in your improv, and improv isn't planning. Kind of just being where you are, if you're willing to breathe into it and pause, then you simply move to resolve out of whatever you landed on. And there isn't anybody who's going to give a grimace, unless you do. So part of it is not being in a rush, because you end up on that combination that you didn't think you should. You just relax and move into something that has the tonality that you want. And you just, when you're in modal playing, it's really hard to make anything sound bad. So you do that, you can, in the right hand, you're not limited to a single note. I'm using sixth in the right hand. And some of it, you know, I don't particularly like, but the way I would find out what I like is to do exactly what I'm doing. Just have your left hand anchored and play around with sticks, play around with thirds, play around with just a scale. If I go back to the C, one of the things that I've learned, which is really fun, is that this is a way to extend my major. So I have an awful lot of minor things, and it's harder for me to build major repertoire. But but because it's done in a Do-Re-Mi scale, it takes some of the strangeness out of some of the sounds. And again, you can play around with that. So there's lots of other things you can do with modes, but that's the very simplest thing. And if what you do is just take C and do nothing but play around with it, take D, play around in it, and you'll find that you like some of these modes better than others. Some you may stay away from. And then as you go back and you look at some of the arrangements that Stella has done, because she's done so much in modes and just done a really nice job with them, then you can look and see, you know, kind of what some of the things are that she's done. One of the modal pieces that I use of hers all the time is that it's in D. And now it goes to C. C. But all the rest of it is in D. And that's part of the beauty of the modal music is mixing your main mode and then going out of it, like a chord will change, and then back down to the main mode again. She, her stuff is just super nice. And of course, I played that way too fast.
Which one was that, Dee?
That is probably one I can't pronounce.
Is that in the Healing Musicians book?
That one's in her volume one. She has two volumes of, volume one Healing Musicians book is what that one is in. It's also one of the reasons that I like some of these is that they're very simple. It is called
Stella Maris, on page 67 and 66.
One of the things that I discovered, if any of you are working with some of Stella's pieces, she has some things that are improv, and they just wander all over the place. And I've always looked at them and said, gosh, they might be nice to play, but how would I ever, there's no patterns in there that I can see to remember the right hand with. And I had the most wonderful discovery 2 nights ago when I was working, reading through her volume two, a couple of pieces. And I said, oh my gosh, all I have to do is pay attention to these bass patterns and wander, make up my own. And it's the bass patterns that hold it together with that modal sound. So, modal music is just, with being able to anchor it in the bass, it's just is really nice. So I'm going to stop here on modal and see if we've got questions.
I have a question about rhythms.
Yeah.
It seems when I try to improvise, everything takes on a kind of sameness in the pattern, not of the notes so much, but of the timing. And I don't seem to be able to unstick myself from that.
And is that in the both hands, the right hand?
Pretty much. And the left hand, everything seems to kind of go into a 1-2-3, 1-2-3, I could be waltzing all around. And that, when you were saying, ADA, and I was getting, okay, well, that had a little kind of quirky thing to it that was kind of fun, that I don't seem to get on my own.
I'm going to note that as a question. We're short on time now, and I don't feel very comfortable in being able to give you, three or four possible ways to break loose from that.
Okay.
And I certainly would be happy if you want to send me an email.
Sure.
It might be something that we set up a conference call on.
Okay.
That would allow me to kind of rehearse and then provide some tips.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions?
Well,
I think that's a no. So what I'd like you to do between now and the next call is just sit and play. With improv, there's nothing right or wrong. The joy of improv is to let yourself, you can do an exercise where you just look away from the harp, just put four fingers on the string and play them, see what you get, place them again, vary some of the rhythm in it. And, if you're not looking at the harp, you can't be planning what you're going to do. And that's the whole point of improvisation. Now, doing a chordal progression, knowing that you're going to go from C to A to C minor to F to G and back to C, yes, there's some degree of planning in that. But but there's also a lot of flexibility. So play with it. Give yourself some freedom. Slow down with it. Don't be afraid to pause with it. And you'll discover if you've got a void in sound. But I think that we're so afraid of that void that we fill it up and we don't ever discover that we don't have to do as much playing.